Psalm 66 turns our inward emotional turmoil back to a faithful God who keeps his promises. Psalm 66 is a song sung by God's people Israel, walking to the temple each Sabbath, a song of thanksgiving, as we said. They probably even hummed it cleaning the house, doing the vacuuming, washing the dishes, doing the ironing, looking after the grandchildren, or as they hurried off early in the morning on their daily commute to work, being thankful for the thousand everyday little things, instead of being bogged down in the crises. Sure, we need to deal with the crises, but how better to deal with life than knowing and be thankful for God's presence in it. And Psalm 66 reminds us today that God is saving his world, is saving his people, and is saving you and me. Psalm 66, God calls us to come and see, to come and hear what God has done, is doing, and will do, to come to him and fill our hearts with thankfulness and praise. Let's pray before I go on to Psalm 66. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can spend together. In these next few minutes, open our hearts to your grace and glory, that they be full of thankfulness for all that you have done for us. Amen. We don't know exactly who wrote this psalm or what his particular circumstances were. It may have been a king returning from a victorious battle against God's enemies, or perhaps someone just like you and I, stumbling along in his walk with God while clinging to God's precious promises for him, growing in God's grace, little bit by little bit, day by day, growing in the knowledge of God's presence, his faithfulness, his care, his comfort, his strength, his provision, his love, in the myriad little battles he faced each and every day. The song starts with creation. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. There is plenty of exuberant language in these opening verses. God desires the whole of his creation, which he made for the purpose of his own glory, to be joyful, to be in awesome wonder. God is personally involved with his creation, providing for it, nurturing it, and securing it from his enemies. And verse 4 is the great paradox of the now but not yet. God is the glorious creator, the gracious sustainer, and beautiful savior of the whole earth. In the next verses, the psalmist zooms in and focuses directly on mankind. Verse 5, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. All the people in all the earth are called to come. He faithfully does what God wanted his people Israel to do, shouting out to all people to come and see the light of God's glory, miraculously delivering this people from slavery in Egypt for his glory and the joy of his people, miraculously crossing the Jordan River for God's glory and for the joy of his people. The message being, what God has done for Israel, he will do for all mankind. Verse 7, now warning against rebelling, against turning our backs, and yet when we do, God is watching over everything, guarding and keeping his own people, at the same time keeping an eye on what their neighbours and enemies are up to. God's plan will prevail, not ours. If you're ever feeling despondent and discouraged, or just plain weary, perhaps ready to give up on God, we have that beautiful passage in Hebrews chapter 12, urging us to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. So what exactly was the joy that so sustained Jesus on his cross? I reckon we are that joy that was set before him, bringing those who God his Father had given him to glory, spending eternity with God's people in glory, was that joy. His church, his beautiful bride, you and I are that joy. So the next verses, the psalmist identifies personally with God's ancient people, Israel. He understands the meaning and purpose of the relationship between God and his chosen people. We can count the number of personal pronouns in these four verses. There are 10, I think. My English wasn't all that good at school, but each time preceded by a you, that is what you, God, did. The testing, the trials, the discipline. He mentions the refining of silver. In Old Testament times, silver was refined 7 times to remove the dross. How much more will God refine his people for our good and his glory? We rebel. God disciplines us. We despise his discipline. God is patient. We stray. God shepherds us. We ignore. God gets our attention. We reject him. And God lovingly, graciously, mercifully gives us himself, his one and only Son. Jesus willingly suffered the Father's discipline unto death for the joy set before him, that we might share that joy. Verses 8 to 12 speak to Old Testament times. They speak to the gospel present, and they speak to the future eternity. Verse 12, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Verse 13, now it is personal. The psalmist starts with all creation, then to all mankind, then specifically to God's people. Now he speaks of himself as we count the number of I's and my's in these verses. I will come. I will perform my vows. My lips, my mouth, promised when I was in trouble. I will offer. I will make an offering of bulls and goats, taking full responsibility in his part of his relationship with God, understanding what life and life abundantly is all about. He knows that he needs saving and knows his glorious Saviour. He knows where to find rest in a restless world, peace in a world at war with itself, joy in a sad world, satisfaction in a world that cannot possibly satisfy, hope in a world without hope, a world looking for love in all the wrong places. And he is thankful for it all, making his offering accordingly. His sacrifice is the best of the best, coming from a heart overflowing with thankfulness. And there was more. Our psalmist, in the closing verses now, without fear or favour, goes on to share at each and every opportunity his own testimony, his personal witness, confessing with his mouth, praising with his tongue, inviting all to come and hear. And finally, verse 20, God has not withheld his love for me. Those 10 lepers we read about in Luke 17 had absolutely nothing going for them. Sinners, diseased, unclean, separated from family, excluded from temple life, ostracized from society, isolated, fearful, hopeless, no vaccine, no cure, no joy, no hope. Now, miraculously, Jesus healed them. 9 of them still have absolutely nothing going for them, turning to the world for their identity, dead in their sin. Only one responded with thankfulness. turned from his past life and found Jesus, a Samaritan, the truth. He found Jesus, who was the truth, the way, and the life. His heart full of thankfulness and joy. What has God done for us? What does our personal testimony look like? And who are we going to tell? Let's pray. Graciously Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done for us in the life, death, resurrection and ascension of your Son Jesus. Give us thankful and grateful hearts. Help us to be strong and courageous, that we be thankful, faithful, trusting and obedient disciples. For the sake of our joy, for the sake of others, that others are saved, and may all the glory be yours, in the strong and precious name of Jesus. Amen.